we saw in chapter 11 how the divine spirit highlighted two men that will rise in human history that will sorely persecute Israel. The first is Antiochus Epiphanes, which we saw in verses 1 to 35. And the second is the Antichrist that will arise in the coming great tribulation from verses 36 to 45. Antiochus Epiphanes came during the close of the Grecian Empire, and the Antichrist will come at the close of the revived Roman Empire. Remember, we were discussing that we are at that point in time whereby we are moving towards the 10 toes of Daniel. We are at the end of the legs, and we are moving towards the time of the Lord's return. And then we see in chapter 12 how it all begins with the Michael, the archangel, arising to protect Israel during the tribulation period. And if the events of Daniel 11, 40 to 45, has reached its climax at the middle of the 70th week, then we would expect Michael to arise at this time in order to protect his people, Israel. Verse 1 says how Israel would be in such great trouble, and that trouble shall never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. It's interesting, isn't it? This morning we were studying Genesis chapter 10, and we were discussing how people and nations came about after the global flood through Noah and his three sons. How we have all one father, that is Noah, and we are all of the same blood. And how from there was a table of 70 people, different groups from different lands, described as nations, ethnic groups, that were dispersed throughout the entire earth. And they are all traced back to the spiritual root of Noah, the man who came through the global flood, the man who God opened the spiritual eyes to come to see the judgment of the global flood, and how he was the man whom God gave the sign of the rainbow to describe how God would not judge the world again with a global flood. And then, amidst all these things, you see the evolution or the movement of the nations of the world. Through Jephthah comes the Europeans, through Ham came the Africans, then through Shem came the Middle Eastern group. Israel, the Hebrew race, was from there. And you see that evolution, and in that whole table describing the evolution of nations in the world, the word God is missing in the whole chapter. It seems so strange that, you know, having that same good spiritual root, how is it that the nations evolved in such a chaotic manner? And how the Bible described through Nimrod, right, came the city of Babel or Babylon, right, the symbol of godlessness that we would see throughout the Bible, and especially in the end times, how they will be always opposing the people of God, energized by the evil one against the people of God. And so you see that when we look at Genesis chapter 10, even before, or from the time before God would speak concerning Abraham, the chosen nation, why is it that there is that description? It's because man has lost his way. And so God had to choose a man through Abraham and through his loins to bring about salvation to mankind once again. Man was just saved from the flood. And then they were lost again. So that is a description of who we are. And as you describe, here we are in Daniel chapter 10, we are seeing the evolution of human history, how human history moves and how God would begin the nation of Israel through the loins of Abraham. And now we are seeing the halfway mark, in the, almost the end of the Old Testament, through God's prophecy to Daniel, right? Just at the point before they return from the captivity. And there are three thoughts that we want to see here. Firstly, a coming separation, verses 1 to 3. And secondly, a coming revelation, verses 4 to 10. And a coming millennium, verses 11 to 13. The Lord is going to describe and give to us the end of days, right, concerning the people of Israel. And verse 1 tells us how Israel is going to be in such trouble during that time of the great tribulation. At the end of chapter 11, we have seen the exploits of the Antichrist, how he would be there, right, maneuvering himself during the first half of the tribulation, and how he would interact with the various players, the kings of the north, the kings of the south, you know, coming to play in human history, and how they would be a part of that end time dominion, right, through the Roman Empire to dominate the whole world. And so, as you think about the description of what is to come, we want to see things in perspective. If you were to look in this chart here, we have discussed in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks, right? We began from the time when the decree was given from Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem, to the time when Messiah is cut off, when Jesus Christ would come, and how he would live a full life, and how he would be crucified on the cross, is 483 years. And this is the 79 weeks, or 69 times 7 years that would take place, right, throughout that period, okay, whereby the second temple would be completed, and how after the second temple was completed, then the Messiah would come, and how the Messiah would be crucified. And then we see the beginning of the church age. There is a gap there whereby we know from history that Israel, after they crucified the Messiah, not long after, 40 years later, the Lord allowed them to be deported out of the land, and how for the next 2,000 years Israel was non-existent in human history. How that period of time in the church age, Israel was a non-entity. And perhaps that is the reason why you see that the prophecy of Daniel skipped in this way. Alright, you see the period ending with Antiochus Epiphanes during the intertestament period, right, whereby they would come to desecrate Israel, and Israel, after that, there is the gap. Then finally you reach the last 7 years that we would be concentrating and focusing on, the last 7 years of the Great Tribulation, in which Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 gives to us that perspective. So this is another picture for us to give us a perspective of the 70th week of Daniel, how it includes the church age, it includes the 7-year tribulation period just before the millennium, right? The description of the millennium will be given in the last 2-3 verses. And so here we want to think and give us the thought concerning a coming separation, right? A coming separation. And this is a picture that we want to see here, right? Concerning what is to come if you were to look at this chart, we have placed this time perspective in the light of the New Testament, right? In the light of the book of Revelation, right? God gave to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos 600 years later to complete the picture in the last 3.5 years of prophetic history during the Great Tribulation, and this will be filled up or described with the seal judgment, the trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment, and how we know from Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 that the peace treaty that the Antichrist would make with Israel would be broken, right? The Antichrist would break that peace treaty, and then from there, right, you're going to see, well, this is a picture of from the book of Revelation, how all this adds up, right? Because we want to see a full picture where we are, all right? And so from the church age, we see here, remember we studied the seven churches of Revelation, Revelation 1 to 3, that describes the churches during the church age. Then from verse 4 to 5, you see the rapture, the scene was changed to worship in heaven, right? The church was raptured. And so the book of Revelation gives a chronological order concerning what is to happen event by event, right? Following the rapture of the church, then began the Great Tribulation. So the Great Tribulation occurred from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 18, chapter 19, right? At the end of 18, in chapter 19, Christ would come and he would fight the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon at the plain of Megiddo, and then how Christ would defeat the Antichrist, and from there he would begin the millennium, his rule on earth, right? Remember, we see in the figure of Daniel how you see the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, followed by the Roman Empire to the 10 toes, the 10 legs, and from there a stone would come and destroy it all, and the stone that come to destroy it all is the coming of Christ with his saints in order to defeat Satan and his minions and establish his rule upon earth. That's why we say that the stone that came and hit the entire figure, the edifice of all human empires, and how it would consume the whole earth, and how Christ would rule upon earth for the next 1,000 years. This is the millennium that is to come, and Daniel would see a glimpse of it at the end of this chapter. And so as you put things in perspective, you would want to see a description of the things to come, right? And here, Daniel chapter 12, you see the picture, right? Right at the middle of the Great Tribulation. And here we see the description, how at the time Michael shall stand up, that great prince that is protecting Israel, how he would stand for the children of his people, of the people of God, and there was to be a trouble as never before. So if you were to read the book of Revelation, the destruction that would come upon planet Earth, it is disastrous, right? Disaster after disaster, big ones, bigger ones, and the time frame becoming shorter and shorter as the calamities would come. And Jesus says that if this would not be shortened, the entire earth would have been destroyed. And so here is described to be a time such as never was since there was a nation, even at that time, thy people shall be delivered. So how God's people would come, and today you see Israel in the land already. And so what is it that is coming? Verse 2 tells us, we are still at we are still at verse 1. I just give to you the perspective of the two put together. Alright, and now we come to verse 2.
and verse 3.
And verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Here you're going to see two perspectives or two great events that is going to take place. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life. What do you mean by that? If you were to put things in perspective, you would see that this refers to the coming rapture of the church. When Christ would return, right, he would, when he returns, bring life to God's people. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 10 describes this, how he would, those who died for us, that we, whether we awake or sleep, we shall be together with him. How Christ is going to come and receive his church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 22 to 24 is another description of that coming. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, and after that they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power." So we are speaking about the movement toward that time, right? And Revelation chapter 20 verse 5 to 6 gives that description, that resurrection to everlasting life. "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. But this is the first resurrection. Blessed are the, and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." What is this first resurrection? It refers to the rapture of the church, right? The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they which are alive shall be taken up together with the Lord in the air. And what happened after that? Well, Revelation 20 verse 5 verse 6 tells us, "But they that shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here we are seeing the perspective of that resurrection to everlasting life. And so you would be able to see in that sense from a, what we call a wide angle lens, right, concerning what is to come in the future. You would be able to see two events that will take place, to the believers, right, to everlasting life, but to the unbelievers, those who are without God, right, they would be seeing, right, the time of the great white throne judgment that would come after the millennium. And so you see these two events that take place. And if you were to read what Christ said concerning how he would separate the sheep and the goats, well, you see this description being given here, all right, how he would be the judge and how he would assess and how there would be that separation. And so this first thought from verse 1 to 3 tells us that there is going to come a separation of God's people, right? How the dead would be resurrected, dead in Christ would be resurrected, and how there would be a reward for the righteous. Right? And this is the climax of the book of Daniel. Right? Because it's a description of how God would bless his own. And verse 3 says, "And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Right? They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So God gives to us a perspective of the future so that we can align our life with him according to his will. And God wants us to know his will so that we may know how to live our lives in the light of what is to come. And so you see a description of how the world, the nations of the world, the Gentile nations, seem to be dominating Israel, right, beginning with Babylon, and seemed there's no end. Then came Persia, then came Greece, then came Rome, and then you see the Antichrist coming, making exploits during the last days, and it is going to be the darkest hour in the history of God's people. But you will see also how the Lord would triumph at the end. And then you see two things. Not only there is a resurrection to come to life, but there is also a resurrection to everlasting contempt. This is the great white throne judgment to come. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and to him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And so Daniel, as we reach chapter verse 3 of Daniel chapter 12, you see the separation. How the separation to come to everlasting life, and a separation to everlasting contempt. It must cause us to realize how God is going to make that separation as He did before the global flood. Remember, Noah was preaching concerning the coming flood, and how the people were scorning, they were mocking, and they would not listen, and until the ark was completed, and how all his family embarked, and the animals went up, and suddenly pitter-patter, and the rain started to come, and then it was too late. And so as we think about this perspective, we want to think concerning what is to come, and what will surely come, and what is really at the doors, so that we may not be in any kind of delusion concerning God's coming judgment. Then from verse 4 to 10, it's described for us a coming revelation. Verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." What does it mean? Well, Daniel was asked of God to protect and preserve this inspired writing. Whatever that he has received, the Lord has asked him to write it down and to seal it. Well, there is one book that he would write it down, that he would keep it in safe, keep it safe. And then there would be another copy that they would take, and they would use it, they would study it through time. And so this was what Daniel was doing. He was asked to keep and preserve. And you see here the second part of verse 4 saying that even to that time of the end, right, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. What is this knowledge? Well, this is a knowledge, we believe, of a description of the eschatological future, meaning that what is going to come, right, concerning the end of the world, right? And this knowledge that is increased is given to the diligent seeker. So we have been spending so much time digging and reading and going through, you know, verse by verse, perspective by perspective, what God revealed to Daniel concerning the future to come. And then Daniel was given a vision in verse 5. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the river, bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of this wonders?" Well, this took place During the time at the place of the Tigris River, right, if we were to make a comparison with Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 to 16, you would be able to see a very close description of that same angel with that same appearance. He was in the bank of Ulai, and how he came and he was given the vision. All right. So as you look at this, you would see the two angels speaking, right, concerning the future to come. Right. Peter described it in this way in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. He says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Well, the angels, they knew what is happening or what is to come. Right. And then you see the picture of the grand angel dressed in linen. Right. It's the same description of the man we saw in Daniel chapter 10, verse 5. Right. How we see him, the man that was clothed in linen, how we described him as the Son of God himself coming. And how, you know, here is described to us how this man that came in verse 7, right, it says here, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the rivers of water, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of thy people, and all these things shall be accomplished, shall be finished." So the two hands raised to heaven speaks about the things that the things that is to come, and how this the one that liveth forever, right, is an appropriate name to describe who God is. And you see this similar event that John would see in Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, and there shall be time no longer." So here the answer that came from this angel, this exalted angel, is twofold. Two things that you see. First, he described the duration of these wonders, that it will be times, times, and half a time, exactly as what Daniel was told 17 years ago. And namely, that it will be for 3.5 years, right? This tribulation that Israel is going to go through would be for 3.5 years. And here we are describing the second half of the tribulation. Right? If you were to look at the picture that we see, okay, here, right, up to the end of chapter 11, we are seeing the movement of things happening, right, in the Middle East, right before this time, okay, just before at Revelation chapter 11, chapter 12, right at the midpoint. But what happens after that, right, from Daniel chapter 12 onwards, from verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, is the second half of the tribulation, which Daniel was asking, what is it? What is it to come, right? What is it? What is the coming revelation? I want to know what will happen to my people during that second half of the tribulation. Right? So the final outcome of that period, of that this description, all right, would not be known, in fact, to Daniel. Right? Daniel could not understand. Verse 8 says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So Daniel did not understand. The angels did. Daniel's questions were not ignored by God, but were answered more fully 600 years later on the island of Patmos, right, by the Apostle John. God's people must be content with what God would want to reveal to them at that time. So Daniel knew up to that point in time, right, the midpoint of the tribulation, what will come. But beyond that, well, the prophecy is sealed up. Verse 10 says, And many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wicked do not understand spiritual things. They are spiritually blind. Just as we were describing Genesis chapter 10, how the nations of the world, how could they become so godless? Did they not have a spiritual root right at the beginning? How is it that through time, the knowledge of God is completely lost? Well, you see how wickedness proliferates itself so quickly. Right? The wicked will not understand there is that spiritual blindness. But for Daniel, he was among those whom God has given spiritual insight. He would be wise to understand. And then from verse 11 to 13 is a description of the coming, the events leading up to the coming millennium. Right, verse 11. This is a picture of the events to come. Alright. Describing the transition from the tribulation period to the time when Christ will come, the millennium. Right? The number of days given in Daniel and in the book of Revelation is 1260 days, meaning that there will be a 3.5 year period, all right, in the second half of the tribulation, whereby God's people would be would have to go through a great persecution that would arise from the Antichrist. And Jesus himself said, except those days shall be shortened, Matthew 24:22, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And so then you ask yourselves, why is it that in verse 11 there's a description concerning 1290 days? Why 1290 days when the tribulation is only supposed to be 1260 days? Why is it that there is an additional 30 days? Well, it is connected here, well, possibly to what we would describe as a period of cleansing and purification of the temple. Remember, the temple was made desolate by the Antichrist at the midpoint, and throughout that time, right, he would continue to his abomination, and how that desolation would reach its climax when Christ would return and defeat the Antichrist. And so after the defeat of the Antichrist, there is a period, well, you may say, of cleansing. And there is a biblical precedence for it during the time of Hezekiah, how he also instituted a month postponement before the Passover, so that there would be sufficient time to prepare for the celebrations. The priests were prepared so that the consecration, that event is made in great honor to God. And verse 12 says that blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1335 days. So you see here that there is another number that is given, 1335 days. What is it? Well, you see here that there is an additional 45 days, right, that extends from the 3.5 years. What is this all about? Well, we have spoken concerning the cleansing, how it would take the 30 days, but here you see another 45 days. What is it? All right, here, well, we are seeing how there would be a time, right, for the preparation of for the millennial kingdom to come. And if you were to think about it, you would be able to picture that, you know, in the Holy Land itself, there is 200 million people, soldiers, that are gathered in that little land. Right? How Christ would come and he would totally destroy in one shot by his word, right, at that time. So after that great carnage, the Bible says that there would be a great blood bath all the way up to the legs of the horses. Right? So possibly there is a time period of cleaning up of the land. And here there is also a description of how the Messiah would prepare, right, for the rule of his kingdom from that time. So from then will begin the rule of Christ for 1,000 years. This is the final diamond kingdom, right, the stone that would break the entire figure of human empires. And so then verse 13 says, "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days." Well, there would come a time of the great tribulation, right? A time of where the people of God would be, Israel itself would be sorely tested. Then at the end of that tribulation period, you see how Christ returned with his army, right? And then he would begin that millennial rule on earth. And how after the millennium would come, we described earlier in Revelation 20, from verses 11 to 15, the great white throne judgment. And after that would begin eternity. And so for Daniel, well, you see a glorious future, eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. What a glorious future for Daniel, as the Lord revealed the mystery of the ages for his chosen nation to his choice servant. We are privileged with this knowledge, and may we be prepared and up and about the Lord's business till he comes. We see that the Lord's return is even at the doors, and the Lord has given to us this witness for a purpose, to be his end time witness, in order that the world may know the judgment to come, the perspective of things to come. If you are a Noah, well, the Lord says that the days before his coming will be like the days of Noah. Right? We have spoken about it. It will be like the days of Lot. Remember, we were discussing how, you know, God gave the rainbow covenant at the end of Genesis chapter 9, after the, and how the rainbow is the flag that is used by the LGBT, the homosexuals, the gays, the lesbians, as their symbol. These are the days of Lot. And how they would distort the truth, how they would want to build their kingdom upon earth, continue their sins. And the Bible tells us that the handwriting is on the wall. It's like Belshazzar, how before the end of that feast, that's it. You know, judgment would come. So may we be awake to the signs of the times, to the things that are really momentous unfolding before our very eyes, that we may not be caught building the empire of this world that will surely perish. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. May thou grant to us understanding to see the perspective concerning the days ahead. O Lord, help us not to forget what thou hast given to us concerning the developments before us. And Lord, indeed Israel is in the land, and how Israel that is in the land is indeed preparing itself for the consummation, and how the world is moving towards a new world order of a global government, a global religion, and a global financial system. Oh God, we see that thy coming is soon. The end is near. May thy people be awakened to the signs of the times and be prepared. Lord, help us. This I commit and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.